Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord's living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be alone.
Our reading today is from Genesis chapter 2, 21 through 24. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
So we're going to have a few songs that have some motions to them. The kids should like this. So we're going to have everybody stand up if you'd like to do the motions. We're going to have some fun here.
I have the joy.
So happy, so
Should have looked through these slides first. Okay. You guys ready for this? You ready to do some motions?
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir!
Can you go back to that last song? We're going to do another version to this song now. It's the same words, same song, but there's some different motions to it. This is going to be the cowboy version. Does anybody know this one? Yeah? Okay, hopefully my mic stays on this time.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery.
See you all tonight. Great turnout. We've got some friends and neighbors with us tonight, and peace. Is that what that was? We're glad you come and are a part of this. And I want to, before I forget, before you leave, if you're a kiddo, you get one of these. They're up here on the front. Some really valuable stuff in there. You don't want to miss it. So tonight, I wanted us to learn together a little bit about family, the way God created it, and the way He intended it to be. I'm going to ask you some questions as we talk about this, and you feel free to help me out. But would you agree that God is the smartest person in the universe? Would you agree with that? Okay. Would you agree that He is the wisest person in the universe?
Yeah.
Okay, go like this if you agree. All right. Very good. That wasn't very enthusiastic, Emma. You were sort of down like this. Sort of like, would you agree that He probably knows best? All right, that's better. So, if He's the smartest, the wisest, He probably knows best, it probably makes sense that we ought to do things the way that He's told us, that He's designed. And that's the way we want to think about family tonight. And I hope you listened as Tim read scripture a little bit ago from way back at the beginning, the second chapter of Genesis to the very first family in the world. That's what that passage was talking about. Can you tell me some of the names of the very first family in the history of the world? Anybody? Give me one name.
Adam.
Adam, he was the first father, right? Anybody know the name of the first mother?
No.
Eve. Okay. Anybody know the name of the first kiddos? Any of the kids? Cain, Abel, Seth. Okay, those are the ones we know about. Let me ask you another question. You remember your Bible stories. Was that first family a perfect family that never made any mistakes? No, they weren't perfect, were they? They had some major problems, in fact. And yet, they are a family designed by God. And there's some things we can learn about it. So it all sort of began, like we said, from the Bible a moment ago, with a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, who united in marriage before God. Adam and Eve are married, and they're together, as far as we know, all their lives. And back then, that was a long time. Anybody know how old Adam was when he died? I didn't hear that.
Very
old, okay. Yeah, that's true. Very old. We know more than that, though. Adam was he more than 100? More than 200? 300? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? More than 900? What was he?
930.
So they're married for... 930 years, depending on who died first and that kind of thing. So marriage was a long time back then. And God blesses Adam and Eve with children. Again, Cain, Abel, and Seth. And so Adam becomes father. Eve becomes mother. In fact, her name, Eve, means mother of all living. And they raised children, and they taught them to serve God. So that's how families began. That was God's original family, and that's how it works best. A man and a woman make promises to each other, vows and promises, and they're united together in marriage, and they're committed to staying together in that marriage all their lives, even if it means 900 years. Okay, or more, that's right. And then maybe God will bless that marriage with children. And when that happens, they become father and mother. And again, they teach their children to follow God. By the way, this is exactly what Jesus' family was like. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus' family, because he's always the best example of everything. Jesus was the Son of God, but on earth, whose son was he? Anybody know Jesus' father
Joseph.
On earth? What was that?
Joseph.
That's right. Does anybody know Jesus' mother's name? Go ahead. Mary. Very good. So we've got Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary. And think about those two. Joseph and Mary loved each other. They committed to each other in marriage, promised themselves to one another, and God blessed that marriage with children, Jesus being the first, of course, of those children. So, Jesus' family consisted of a father, Joseph, and a mother, Mary, and children. Now, let me ask a harder question. Does anybody know how many brothers and sisters there were in Jesus' family? How many brothers and sisters? Well, there was at least seven. We're not sure how many total. It may have been more than that, but there are at least seven. So let's count them. We've got, no, we're counting Jesus, so that may have been why you were one short. Got Jesus, all right, and then he had four brothers that we know of, and their names were James and Joseph. Now, who do you think Jesus' brother Joseph was named after? This isn't a trick question. His father Joseph, right? So we had James, the brother of Jesus, and Joseph, and we have, anybody know the other? We've got one person, I think, here tonight named, sitting right back there. What's that little boy's name right back there? That's Simon, isn't it? Jesus had a brother named Simon, and he had a brother named Judas. So four brothers that are named in the Bible. And then it says he had sisters. Now, this is a really hard question. If you put an S on the end of a word, like sister, sisters, that implies you have at least how many?
Four.
At least two. So four brothers, two sisters. What's four and two?
Six.
And then you add Jesus, how many? So at least seven. And you can read about that. You can see those that list of names over in Matthew chapter 13 if you want to look it up. So whether we're talking about the very first family that God made, Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Seth, or we're talking about Jesus' family, Joseph, Mary, Jesus, James, Judas, Simon, who did I forget? Joseph and the girls, all right? Or if we're talking about your family, God has a plan for it. He has a plan and a design for that family. And he knows best the way it works and the way he intended it. And we ought to learn to follow his plan, not just in family, but in all things. If he's the smartest, the wisest, the most loving in the universe. And listen real close to me for a minute. You might not be able to understand all this, but I want you to listen to me. The world that surrounds you right now is telling you all kinds of things about family. And what I wanted to do tonight is very simple. I wanted to say to you what the first family was like and what Jesus' family was like. And you just take that. And anytime the world gives you advice about family, you compare it to those two and then decide who you're going to trust. All right? God has a plan and he has a design, and his is the best. Now, we wanted to do something maybe to help you remember some of these things tonight, a little exercise. And so Jim Kelly is going to come and show you something. It's a bit of a hands-on exercise, you might say. But first, what you need to do is get your hands warmed up. So whatever you do to warm up your hands, if you shake them, you crack your knuckles. I don't know if you crack your knuckles. Whatever you need to do, warm that up. And I want you to listen real close to Jim. He's going to show you something with your hands to help you remember these things.
I've never done this with such a diverse audience. I usually do it one-on-one so I can relate to that person where they are in this scheme of God's families, okay? So we're going to be talking some little generalities tonight. You'll have to find yourself in this illustration, wherever you are, old, young, married, not married, children, parents, wherever you are in this family illustration. Okay, to help you remember what Mark's been talking about, I want you to put your hands together like this. Can you do this? But that's not what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to do this. People back there and up there, do the same thing. Little fingers together. Ring fingers together. The long finger bent down, knuckle to knuckle. The four fingers together and the thumbs together. Now, if you get your hands in this configuration and keep the knuckles together, Bob Hill, you're not doing this. Come on. You can only believe this if you experience it, okay? Let's talk about the knuckles that are together first. Mark mentioned that in the case of a marriage, there is a vow to God and a commitment before God to love, cherish, and honor each other through all situations of life till death do you part. But in all the family relationships, love is the binding ingredient. So the knuckles that are together represent love, commitment, and the vow you make to God. The thumbs represent you and your parents. The four fingers represent you and your brothers and sisters, if you have brothers and sisters. The little fingers represent any children that's born to the relationship that you enter into someday in marriage, and the ring finger represents you and your mate. All right, let's see how this works. God intended for parents to raise their children, as Mark has already mentioned, in the Lord, preparing them to go out into life, have a career, and raise their own family. And so you separate from your parents. Can you do this? Keep the knuckles together. Your brothers and sisters also grow up, and they leave you, and they leave home. And this is your brothers and sisters. They separate. The ring finger represents you and your mate. You may be married now, or you may be married someday, and that represents you and your mate. To that relationship probably will be born children, and they will grow up, and they will leave home also. Keeping the knuckles together, try to separate from your mate, the ring fingers. I see some of you really struggling, like, isn't that wonderful? All right, let's shake it out. Just so you can remember it, let's do it again, okay? All the fingertips together except the long finger. Thumbs represent you and your parents' relationship. You will leave home someday. They'll have an empty nest, and they'll say goodbye. But you'll come back home. You'll still love your mom and dad. Your brothers and sisters, you'll stay in touch with them, but you're not together in a family anymore real close. You leave. You will marry someday, believe it or not, and you will have a mate that is intended with to be bound together with love, commitment, and your vow you made to God. And when relationships of a marriage produces children, they will probably leave home also. Two pieces of advice to leave you with. Mark has already mentioned, when we do things God's way, that's the best way. This piece of advice is something I try to give to people that are looking forward to marriage. I asked the boy and the girl to ask of themselves this question. Is the person that I'm getting ready to marry someone who will help me go to heaven?
Thank you, Jim. You guys did great. Give yourself a high five. Good. Thank you, Jim. Well, hope you'll learn that. Now, you probably have to... I learned that from Jim a long time ago, and every time I think of it, I have to go back to him and have him show me again. So all of you are allowed to do that. Anytime you want to re-lesson on that, you just go bother Jim. He'll tell you how to do that. We'll keep him busy. We're going to sing another song. Tim's going to lead us in a moment here, called I Am Mine No More. And that song's a beautiful song that sort of gives us the attitude that we need in relationships, but most importantly in relationship with God. We give ourselves to God. We're not ours anymore, we're His. And if we want to receive salvation that is available to us in Jesus Christ, we have to give up ourselves. And we learn that as we grow older. This evening, as we sing that song, there might be somebody here who needs to come before us and confess Christ, be baptized into Christ, and have your sins washed away. Or maybe somebody needs to come back to the Lord tonight, and we can pray with you about that. We want to do that. So think about that, and all the things we've talked about tonight, keep in mind as you go forth from here and live your life. But again, the invitation is open to you. If you need to come this evening, Tim will come and lead us. Let us stand. Let us sing this song. Here, right? Oh, Spencer's going to come and lead us in closing prayer. I just want to remind the young ones to make sure you get one of these packets up here. They're made for you. Ladies' class has made them for us. We appreciate that. And so thank you all for coming tonight. and have a blessed evening.